Zayn did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, NHS workforce planning has severed the connection between people who want to train as nurses and the wards that desperately need them. The training facilities sit empty while communities go without care.
This is what happened when I tried to become the nurse my community needed. I grew up above my parents' corner shop on Wilmslow Road in Rusholme. When I was 15, my mother was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. What should have been routine became a nightmare of 3-week waits just to see a GP for her blood sugar checks. I watched her ration her test strips because she couldn't get appointments when she needed them. That's when I decided I wanted to become a nurse. Not for the career prospects or the steady wage, but because I could see exactly what my community was missing. I worked hard through sixth form, got strong A-levels in biology, chemistry and psychology. In 2021, I applied to Manchester Metropolitan University's nursing program and was accepted. I remember walking down Oxford Road that summer, past the university buildings, imagining myself in scrubs, finally able to give something back. My parents were proud. Their son, the first in our family to go to university, training to help people like my mother. When I arrived for enrollment that September, everything changed in one conversation. The admissions administrator, a tired-looking woman behind a desk piled with files, told me my place had been withdrawn. Health education. England had cut the commission training places by 30%, she explained. There's simply no funding, she said, as if she was telling me the weather. I stood there holding my enrollment papers, trying to process what she meant. How could there be no funding for something the NHS desperately needed? I spent a year working in my parents' shop, serving the same community I'd wanted to help in a different way. Every elderly customer who came in talking about their medication, every parent worried about their child's health, reminded me of what I was supposed to be doing. I reapplied in 2022, determined not to give up. This time I got in. The first year was everything I'd hoped for. Anatomy, physiology, learning how the human body works, and how to help when it doesn't. I was finally on track to become the nurse I'd dreamed of being. Then, halfway through my second year, our course leader called us all together. Budget constraints meant they could only offer clinical placements to half our second-year cohort, he announced. The other half would have to defer for a year and hope for better funding next time. I wasn't selected. The budget has been cut, he said, the same phrase I'd heard before. It was starting to sound like a recording, played every time someone wanted to train for work the NHS clearly needed. I watched half my classmates move forward while the rest of us were told to wait, as if nurses were a luxury rather than a necessity. That's when I decided to try a different route. I applied for a healthcare assistant role at Manchester Royal Infirmary, thinking I could work my way up, gain experience on the wards while I waited for the training system to sort itself out. The manager who interviewed me was sympathetic but firm. They had a recruitment freeze. We'd love to promote internally, but we can't afford to create new nursing positions, she said. Another version of the same excuse. I was walking home through the university campus last month when I noticed something that stopped me cold. The nursing simulation labs, the ones with the state-of-the-art patient simulators and monitoring equipment, were completely empty. It was 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, prime teaching time, but the labs were dark. I asked a security guard about it. He told me two entire floors of the nursing building had been mothballed. They had capacity for 200 more students, he said, but the spaces just sat there, unused. That was my turning point. I stood outside that building, looking up at the empty windows, and something clicked. The people existed. I'd met dozens of them. Young people from Rusholme and Longside and Mossside who wanted exactly the same thing I wanted. The facilities existed. I could see them through the windows, expensive equipment sitting idle. The need existed. Every time my mother tried to book a GP appointment, every time I heard neighbors talking about waiting times at A&E, I saw the evidence. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The training places were real spaces with real equipment. The students were real people with real motivation. The need was real patients with real conditions. The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect these people to this work. That wasn't an accounting problem. That was a political decision dressed up as financial impossibility. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, "We cannot afford it," except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here in Rushom, still watching. I see the empty labs, the capable people turned away, the patients who need care. I understand now that this isn't just my story or my constituency's story. It's the story of every place where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. As if pounds were finite and precious rather than numbers the government types into existence every time it chooses to act.
What Zane experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat government budgets like household budgets, repeating the false analogy until it sounds like truth. For decades, tobacco companies hired scientists to question whether smoking caused cancer, creating an illusion of scientific debate where none existed. The same pattern operates in economic policy. Every time Zane was told there's no funding, administrators were channeling economists who insist government spending must be rationed like household income. They cite unnamed experts who declare any increase in public investment inflationary or unaffordable. The objection surfaces reliably. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is deeply divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Manchester Rushome, those resources were sitting idle. Empty nursing labs with £200,000 simulators, qualified applicants turned away, wards struggling with staff shortages. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Manchester Rushome ranks 30 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile. 1. The constituency has 1,889 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £32.8 million according to 360, giving Grant Naval. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.